The Master's Indwelling, Andrew Murray, Chapter 11, Triumph of Faith, John 4:50. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Let me quote from the Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 46th verse. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come up out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. There you have the word believe the first time. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. There you have that word the second time. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, Thy son lives, and himself believed, and his whole house. There you have the word faith. This story has often been used to illustrate the different steps of faith in the spiritual life. It was this use made of it in an address that brought the sainted Canon Battersby into the full enjoyment of rest. He had been a most godly man, but had lived the life of failure. He saw in the story what it was to rest on the word and trust the saving power of Jesus, and from that night he was a changed man. He went home to testify of it, and under God he was allowed to originate the Keswick Convention. Let me point out to you the three aspects of faith which we have here. First, faith seeking, then faith finding, and then faith enjoying, or still better, faith struggling, faith resting, faith triumphing. First of all, faith struggling. Here is a man, a heathen, a nobleman, who had heard about Christ. He has a dying son at Capernaum, and in his extremity leaves his home, and walks some 6 or 7 hours away to Cana of Galilee. He has heard of the prophet, possibly, as one who has made water wine. He has heard of his other miracles around Capernaum, and he has a certain trust that Jesus will be able to help him. He goes to him, and his prayer is that the Lord will come down to Capernaum and heal his son. Christ said to him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. He saw that the nobleman wanted him to come and stand beside the child. This man had not the faith of the centurion, only speak a word. He had faith. It was faith that came from hearsay, and it was faith that did, to a certain extent, hope in Christ. But it was not the faith in Christ's power such as Christ desired. Still, Christ accepted and met this faith. After the Lord had thus told him what he wished, a faith that could fully trust him, the nobleman cried the second time, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Seeing his earnestness and his trust, Christ said, Go thy way, thy son lives. And then we read that the nobleman believed. He believed, and he went his way. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken. In that he rested and was content, and he went away without having any other pledge than the word of Jesus. As he was walking homeward, the servants met him to tell him his son lived. He asked at what hour he began to mend, and when they told him, he knew it was at the very hour that Jesus had been speaking to him. He had at first a faith that was seeking and struggling and searching for blessing. Then he had a faith that accepted the blessing simply as it was contained in the word of Jesus. When Christ said, Thy son lives, he was content and went home and found the blessing, the son restored. Then came the third step in his faith. He believed with his whole house. That is to say, he did not only believe that Christ could do just this one thing, the healing of his son, but he believed in Christ as his Lord. He gave himself up entirely to be a disciple of Jesus, and that not only alone, but with his whole house. Many Christians are like the nobleman. They have heard about a better life. They have met certain individuals by whose Christian lives they have been impressed and consequently have felt that Christ can do wonderful things for a man. Many Christians say in their heart, "I am sure there is a better life for me to live. How I wish I could be brought to that blessed state." But they have not much hope about it. They have read and prayed, but they have found everything so difficult. If you ask them, "Do you believe Jesus can help you to live this higher life?" they say, "Yes, he is omnipotent." If you ask, "Do you believe Jesus wishes to do it?" they say, "Yes, I know he is loving." And if you say, "Do you believe that he will do it for you?" they at once say, "I know he is willing, but whether he will actually do it for me, I do not know. I am not sure that I am prepared. I do not know if I am advanced enough. I do not know if I have enough grace for that." And so they are hungering, struggling, wrestling, and often remain unblessed. This state of things sometimes goes on for years. They are expecting to see signs and wonders, and hoping that God, by a miracle, will put them all right. They are just like the Israelites. They limit the Holy One of Israel. Have you ever noticed that it is the very people whom God has blessed so wonderfully who do that? What did the Israelites say? "God has provided water in the wilderness, but can he provide the table in the wilderness? We do not think he can." And so we find believers who say, "Yes, God has done wonders. The whole of redemption is a wonder, and God has done wonders for some whom I know. But will God take one so feeble as I and put me entirely right?" The struggling and wrestling and seeking are the beginnings of faith in you, a faith that desires and hopes. But it must go on further. And how can that faith advance? Look at the second step. There is the nobleman, and Christ speaks to him this wonderful word, "Go thy way, thy son lives." And the nobleman simply rests upon that word of the living Jesus. He rests on it, and without any proof of what he is to get, and without one man in the world to encourage him, he goes away home with the thought, "I have received the blessing I sought. I have got life from the dead for my son. The living Christ promised it me, and on that I rest." The struggling, seeking faith has become a resting faith. The man has entered into rest about his son. And now, dear believers, this is the one thing God asks you to do. God has said that in Christ you have eternal life, the more abundant life. Christ has said to you, "I live, and you shall live also." The Word says to us that Christ is our peace, our victory over every enemy who leads us into the rest of God. These are the words of God, and His message has come to us that Christ can do for us what Moses could not have done. Moses had no Christ to live in him, but it is told you that you can have what Moses had not. You can have a living Christ within you. And are you going to believe that apart from any experience and apart from any consciousness of strength? If the peace of God is to rule in your heart, it is the God of peace himself must be there to do it. The peace is inseparable from God. The light of the sun, can I separate that from the sun? Utterly impossible. As long as I have the sun, I have the light. If I lose the sun, I lose the light. Take care. Do not seek the peace of God or the peace of Christ apart from God and Christ. But how can Christ come to me? He comes to me in this precious word, and just as he said to the nobleman, "Go thy way home, thy son lives." So Christ comes to me today, and he says, "Go thy way, thy Savior lives. Lo, I am with you always. I live, and ye shall live also. I want to take charge of your whole life. Will you have me do this? Trust to me all that is evil and feeble, your whole sinful and perverse nature. Give it up to me, that dying, sin-sick soul. Give it up to me, and I will take care of it." Will you not listen and hear him speak to your soul? Child, go forward into all the circumstances of life that have tempted you, into all the difficulties that threaten you. Your soul lives with the life of God. Your soul lives in the power of God. Your soul lives in Christ Jesus. Will you not, like the nobleman, take the simple step of faith and believe the word Jesus has spoken? Will you not say, "Lord Jesus, thou hast spoken. I can rest on thy word. I have seen that Christ is willing to be more to me than I ever knew. I have seen that Christ is willing to be my life in the most actual and intense meaning of the words. All that we know about the Holy Ghost sums itself up in this one thing. The Holy Ghost comes to make Christ an actual, indwelling, always abiding Savior. Lastly comes the triumph of faith. The man went home holding fast the promise. He had only one promise, but he held it fast. When God gives me a promise, he is just as near me as when he fulfills it. That is a great comfort. When I have the promise, I have also the pledge of the fulfillment. But the whole heart of God is in his promise, just as much as in the fulfillment of it. And sometimes God, the promiser, is more precious because I am compelled to cling more to him and to come closer and to live by simple faith and to adore his love. Do not think this is a hard life, to be living upon a promise. It means living upon the everlasting God. Who is going to say that is hard? It means living upon the crucified, the loving Christ. Be ashamed to say that is a difficult thing. It is a blessed thing. The nobleman went home and found the child living. And what happened then? Two things. First, he gave up his whole life to be a believer in Jesus. If there had been a division among the people of Capernaum, and thousands of them had hated Christ, this man would still have stood on his side. He believed in the Lord. This is what must take place with us. Let us go forward with our trust in the living Christ, knowing that he will keep us. Then we will get grace to carry the life of Christ into our whole conduct, into all our walk and conversation. The faith that rests in Jesus is the faith that trusts all to him, with all we have. Do we not read that when God had finished his work and rested, it was only to begin new work? Yes, the great work was to be carried on, watching over and ruling his world with his church. And is it not so with the Lord Jesus? When he had finished his work, he sat upon the throne to do his work of perfecting the body through the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is carrying on that blessed work, teaching us to rest in Christ, and in the strength of that rest to go on, and to cover our whole life with the power and the obedience and the will and the likeness of the Lord Jesus. The nobleman gave up his whole life to be a believer in Christ, and from that day it was a believer in Jesus who walked about the streets of Capernaum, not only a man who could say, "Once he helped me," but, "I believe in him with my whole life." Let that be so with us everywhere. Let Christ be the one object of our trust. One more thought. He believed with his whole house. This was triumphant faith. He took up his position as a believer in Christ, and his wife, his children, his servants, he gathered them all together and laid them at the feet of Christ. And if you want power in your own house, if you want power in your Bible class, if you want power in your social circle, if you want power to influence the nation, and if you want power to influence the Church of Christ, see where it begins. Come into contact with Jesus in this rest of faith that accepts his life fully, that trusts him fully, and the power will come by faith to overcome the world. By faith to bless others, by faith to live a life to the glory of God. Go thy way, thy soul lives, for it is Jesus Christ who lives within you. Go thy way, be not trembling and fearful, but rest in the word and the power of the Son of God. Lo, I am with you always. Go thy way with the heart open to welcome him, and the heart believing he has come in. Surely we have not prayed in vain. Christ has listened to the yearnings of our hearts and has entered in. Let us go our way quietly, restfully, full of praise and joy and trust, ever hearing the words of our Master, "Go thy way, thy soul lives," and ever saying, "I have trusted Christ to reveal his abundant life in my soul. By his grace, I will wait upon him to fulfill his promise." Amen.